Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Galatians 1, 6 to 10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in grace, the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And that's where we're going to end the reading of God's Word. Let's seek His face together as we seek to understand what God would say to us this morning. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. We come to you in that name because in that name we are sure to be answered. We know, Lord, that if we were to pray in our own name, that heaven would be shut to us. But Father, that name is a door. Jesus said that I am the door. And Lord, that door swings open before you. And through that door, Father, we have access to the throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, we pray for that this morning. And I pray, O God, that my thoughts will not be muddled. I pray, O God, that my words will be true. And Lord God, that they will be lifted from your word. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to be present right now through the preaching of your word. We pray for unction here. And Lord God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. But I pray this, let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. And let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Open up your word to our hearts. Open it before our eyes, God, that we might see beautiful things within it. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you now, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we pray this together in Jesus' name, Father. Hear us, we pray. Amen. I had an interesting conversation with a believer this past week. And we were sitting talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and about salvation. And in the course of the conversation, we got talking about the law of God. And this believer said to me, you know, we really need to hear and focus on the law of God. We have to keep that central. We have to keep that right in front of our mind, in front of our thinking. And we need to hear that law time and again. We need to be reminded of the fact that we fall short. And you know, I don't disagree with that. I love the law of God. I can join the psalmist. I'm sure you can. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, I love thy law. We want to love God's law. But the thing is, as we got talking, and as we started talking about the gospel and how we also need the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we need to keep that central in our minds and in our thinking, it became pretty obvious that I was speaking a slightly different language. And I understand why. It seems to me that when it comes to talking to believers about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we often think that the gospel was something that was useful in the past. In other words, it was useful to bring us to Christ. it was needed to get us saved. But now that we're in Christ, now that we're saved, well, then we need the law of God. From here on end, it's really up to us. We come to Christ by faith, but we get to heaven by keeping the law of God. And I want to say to you this morning that that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this morning that that is another gospel. It is a false gospel. It is no gospel at all. The gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul preached, that Paul was so passionate about, is this. And it's a gospel for believer and for unbeliever alike. That God, through Jesus Christ, has saved us from our sin and therefore His wrath, to live with God forever and ever. And this we receive by faith, and by faith alone, period. Not by works. We're not saved by grace and then get to heaven by keeping the law of God. That is a false gospel. It is no gospel. It is a gospel that Paul is opposing. There is, and get this, friends, but one true gospel. One true gospel. And it's so important that we understand this gospel, and so important that we live in this gospel, and so important that we preach this gospel to ourselves day in and day out, moment after moment. And I'll tell you something this morning. I believe that I might be speaking a different language to you than what you're accustomed to. And you might be thinking to yourself, the gospel? Now, why do I need to hear about the gospel? Well, friends, you need to hear about the gospel for the same reason that Paul thought the Romans had to hear about the gospel. The Romans, who were believers, when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto glorification for all who believe. Why? Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed day by day, moment by moment to the believer. Why? So that we might increase from faith to faith on our way to glory. And I believe this, friends, and hear me on this, and don't miss this, and underscore this, that when we keep preaching that gospel to ourselves, then we start living lives that are free in Jesus Christ. And I believe this, that if you would get this, if you would understand this, if you would live this, I would be out of a job. I would have no pastoral counseling to do, no marriage counseling, no one-on-one counseling. There would be no problems, no struggles. If you would get this, if you would believe this, if you would get this gospel into your hearts every waking day of your heart and say to yourself, it is by grace through faith that I'm saved and not by works, then you'll live free in Jesus Christ. One gospel, friends. One and one only. It's so important that you understand this. And this morning what Paul's doing, what he's arguing in verses 6 through 10 is that there is one gospel. It's so important for you to understand this. In fact, so important that Paul lays down here two shocking truths about this one gospel. And here's the first of those shocking truths. Anyone who turns to a different gospel turns away from God Himself. Anyone who turns away from this gospel turns away from God Himself. Paul says this, verse 6, look down at your Bibles. Paul says, I marvel, I'm astonished, I'm perplexed, I'm bamboozled that you are turning away so soon from what? From what? From Him. From Him who called you in the grace, not the works but the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And that statement, I think, must have absolutely shocked the Galatians. I mean, they hadn't really, I'm sure, thought about the ramifications of getting circumcised, of listening to the Judaizers who were preaching this different gospel. Remember, Paul had been in there and preached the gospel, had planted these churches, and then he left, and then the Judaizers came in and they said, you know what Paul said? You got to take it with a grain of salt. What you really got to do is get circumcised. Yes, believe in Jesus Christ, but to be a true Christian, you got to first become a Jew. Okay? And so, here's what you got to do. You got to book yourself an appointment with the local rabbi and go get yourself done. And when you've done that, then you're a true follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul comes along here, friends, and he says, you do that, then you've got to know this. You're turning away from God Himself. And they're like, what? Yeah, if you turn away from the gospel to another gospel, which, by the way, is no gospel at all, what you're actually doing is turning away from God Himself. That word, turning away, interesting word. It's a word that means to move from one place to another. It was a word that was used way, way back to describe soldiers who would revolt or who would abandon their army and who would go and join another army. What Paul's saying here, if that's the word, the idea he's got here, is that you're becoming spiritual turncoats by going to this different gospel. Theologians put it this way, you're apostatizing. You're turning away from Jesus Christ Himself. And that's what happens, friends, when we turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and when we start living a different gospel, which is no gospel at all, which is faith plus works gets us right with God. You say, well, how does that work? What's the connection there? Well, here it is. In order to be in a right relationship with God, you come to Him on whose terms? His terms. And God says this, that you have sinned, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and that there is no way that you, by your own merit or works, can get into this relationship with Me. But what I've done is this, I've sent My Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and to give you a positive righteousness so that all that you need to be in a right relationship with Me, I have already done for you. Did you get that? Already done for you through Jesus Christ. And how do you accept this? How do you receive this gift? By faith, period. If you turn to a different gospel, what you're saying is this. You know, I don't like your terms, God. You know, I think what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to try and get to you another way. What way is that? My way. By my works. By my righteousness. I'll tell you this. You're free to do that. But understand this. If that's the path you take to get into a right relationship with God, you have got to keep the whole law and do it perfectly, right? Paul says this over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Every man who becomes circumcised, that is, keeps the law, tries to get to God by doing it himself, is a debtor to keep what? The whole law. Okay, so if you want to get a righteousness by yourself on your own terms, then here's the news. Okay, then you've got to keep the whole law and do it perfectly. What's wrong with that? You can't do it. James 2:10 says this, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of what? Of breaking the entire law. That's right. That's the problem, because we do break the law. And Romans 4:15 says this, the law brings about not God's favor, but His wrath. Okay? And so if you want to get right with God by doing it yourself, by keeping the law, by trying to develop a righteousness of your own. You have to understand this. You've got to go the whole nine yards and keep the whole thing and do it perfectly and not fail. But if you can't and you sin, then you've got to know this, that God's wrath is upon you, if that's the route you want to take. And you walk away from God. Because you can't keep the law of God and get close to God. You try and keep the law of God and not do it by receiving His righteousness by faith, then you are walking away from Him. You're walking into His wrath. Let me just put it to you by illustration. Suppose your friend says to you, you want to go to Florida? How many of you like to go to Florida this morning? I mean, at minus 12, that's looking really good. And your friend says, okay, I'll tell you what, have your bags packed, have your stuff ready. I'll be at your door at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we'll drive down to Florida. Okay, I'll take you there. 9 o'clock comes around, he drives up, you get into the car, you start driving down. First traffic light, you say to yourself, you know what, I don't think this is the best way to get there. So you say, would you mind pulling over for a minute? And you get out of the car, and you say, you know what, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. And you start walking away, and your friend is just, he's at the steering wheel, and he's just looking at you. And you keep walking away. And he gets further and further from you. Do you see the point? It's not a perfect illustration because, you know, you can eventually get down to Florida if you walk, right? But you can't stay with God, or you can't remain with God by keeping the law as the basis for your relationship with Him. Okay? To the extent that you try to do that is the extent to which you say, God, not interested in your terms, not interested in the righteousness you provided for me. I'm on my own. I'm doing it my way. I'm walking to Florida. Bye. Do you see now why Paul's upset? Do you understand now why he's saying, you know, I'm perplexed that you've moved away so quickly. I preached this to you. You accepted it. And these guys came in and they preached another gospel, law plus works, to get you right with God. And you're doing it. And you're walking away from God. You're apostatizing. And you say to me this morning, well, you know what? I'm just so glad that you cleared that up for me. Because you know what? I know lots of people right now who are turning away. And they're trying to get to God and keep right with God by doing it their own and by their own works. And I've got to go tell them this and bring them back. And that's great. But before you go, I want to have a chat with you. I want to talk to you. Because I have this theory, which is based on observation. And I believe it's an accurate observation. Every one of you falls prey to this. And if you say that you're not this morning, then you are more in it than you know. That every day, in a million and one ways, we turn away from Him who called us by the grace of Jesus Christ to another gospel, which is no gospel at all. And every day we say, you know what, God, maybe Your way is not the best way. Maybe the righteousness You've given to me and the blood that Christ has covered me with is not really the way. So I'm going to open the door and I'm going to walk my way down to Florida, and I'll get to there, God, but I'll do it my way. You know how we do that? You know how we do that? We do it by seeking our own righteousness. And you want to know how we do that? Turn your Bibles to Luke 18. I'll show you how we do that. I would laugh at this man if he were not such an accurate reflection of who I am and of who we can be so many days. This is the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee.
And Jesus says in verse 9 that he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were what? That they were what? That they were righteous. And despised others. And this Pharisee who goes up to the temple in verse 7 and 11 says this, he prayed thus with himself. He doesn't even pray to God. He's praying thus with himself. And he stands up and he prays, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, my question to you this morning is, where's the mention of this guy's sin? I mean, we're hearing a lot about all the good stuff that he's not doing. But where's the mention of his sin? Okay, yeah, we're hearing about what he's not doing, but where is his sin? You see, this is what we do. This is what we do. We focus on the good things that we do. We don't look at the bad things we do. We don't want to go there. And why do we do that? Because we want to believe that we're better than we actually are. And so we focus on the things that we've done, the good deeds that we've done. And we look at these few things, and then we start patting ourselves on the shoulder, and we say, you know, I'm doing really well here. And that's how we do it ourselves. That's how we get this righteousness. But we do something else. Not only do we minimize our own sin, but we do something else. You know what it is? We maximize the sin of others. That's what we do. You know, I thank you that I'm not like other people. You know, I'm not like an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I don't do this. I don't do that. You know, I'm not like these lowlifes here. You know, I tithe. I fast. Here's what I do. But I don't do these things. Now, here's what we do. We find people who are doing these things, and why do we look at these people and stare at the sin they're committing and point it out? And part of it could be a righteous indignation, that's true. But I think most times why we do it, why we talk about and talk down about other people, why we criticize, why we gossip, you want to know why? It's because we want to appear righteous, better than they are. We want to manufacture our righteousness by maximizing other people's sin. Here's how we do it. We minimize our own sin. We maximize the sins of others. And somehow we fabricate this pathetic thing called righteousness, which we're banking on to get us right with God. Well, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ says, you can't do anything to either get into this relationship or stay in this relationship. And it's all about my son Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And what you've got to do is stop trying to get your own righteousness and just accept and receive and live in the righteousness that my son has already given you. And keep preaching that sermon to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because people who go about maximizing other people's sin and minimizing their own sins are living in bondage. And they're not free. They're not. You can't be. We're free only to the extent that we are keeping ourselves in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keeping ourselves, therefore, with God. By grace, and not turning away from Him to another gospel, saying, you know what, Lord, I am not going to create my own righteousness. I'm going to keep your righteousness central in my life and in my thinking, and therefore be free in Jesus Christ. Paul says, listen, there's one gospel. So important that you get this. Don't deviate from this. Don't go to another gospel, because if you do, you're turning away from the one who called you. And that's serious business, isn't it? So don't do that, Paul says. But there's another shocking truth that Paul lays down here in these verses. And one, I think, that just shows us how important this one true gospel is. And it's this, that anyone who teaches another gospel deserves to go to hell. That anyone who preaches another gospel deserves to go to hell. Yep. Friends, if I were to ask you this morning who you think the greatest enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ are, who would you say? Some of you might say, well, those who persecute the church, those who do us harm, the world maybe, with all of its temptations, right? But you know what? When you read the New Testament, the world is not what you find to be the greatest enemy of the church. You want to know where you find the greatest enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ? Where? In the church. That's right. It's not on the outside. It's those who are in the inside who are passing themselves off and pretending to be true believers and teachers of God's people. And it's these people that you see the New Testament writers battling against time and again, right through the New Testament. In fact, 2 Peter is a book devoted entirely to false teachers. This was a big problem, right? And Paul's angry here. And these guys have come in and they're preaching another gospel. And they're saying that if you want to be saved and a true believer, then you've got to keep the law of God. And Paul's saying, listen, no. And they're saying, well, that's Paul. And Paul's, you know, he's wishy-washy. When he's with the Jews, he'll say, yeah, they've got to be circumcised. And when he's with the Gentiles, he'll say, don't worry about it. Listen, Paul contextualized the gospel. We'll see this. But one thing he never did was this. He never compromised the gospel's message. Never, ever. He says to them, listen, say all you want about me, but get this, that if I come to you and I preach a gospel, or if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel, let him be what? Accursed. You know what that word means? It's a word that's taken from the Old Testament, and it means devoted to destruction. Remember in the Old Testament when God would say to his people, okay, go and fight these people, and when you've killed them, destroy everything. I mean, burn their cities, burn their animals, just kill everything. Why? Because they're accursed. They're devoted to destruction. And Paul's saying this, if I come to you again, and if I preach to you any other gospel than the one that I preach to you, if an angel should come from heaven and preach this or another gospel, let him be devoted to destruction. Let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. You see, that's pretty serious stuff. You see, why is Paul so angry? Why is he so upset? Well, I'll tell you why he's upset. I want you to hear this morning. Paul understood this, that people's eternal destinies were at stake on this issue. Paul understood that you come in and you start telling people that you get right with God by faith plus obedience. You're not going to get right with God. You're going to walk away from God. You're not going to get to God. And Paul's like, you know what? Let them go to hell if that's what they're doing. So serious. I mean, these guys were putting a blinder in front of the covenant people of God and preventing them from seeing their need for Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, let them be accursed. How dare they do that? People's eternities are hanging in the balance on this. And I've got to say this, my friends, to you this morning, that in the Reformed Church today, that there are people who are going around and preaching another gospel. And they're telling us that we come to Christ by faith, that we keep ourselves in God by obedience, by law keeping.
We're saved by faith. We get to heaven by the law. Have you heard this? Or you hear them saying this: all that matters is being baptized. If you're baptized, you're in Jesus Christ. And just keep the law. If you don't keep the law, then you're falling from grace. And this is what is being preached in the Reformed Church today. And the minds of God's people are being adulterated, and their minds are being deceived, and they're being troubled, and they're being agitated because a tremendous yoke is being placed on them, and they think that if it is to be, it's up to them. And I don't know why the Church of Jesus Christ is not calling these men to account. I don't know why we're being nice with them. I believe that if Paul were here today, he would say to these men, and I don't care who they are, I don't care what education they've got, I don't care how many letters they have after their name, I don't care how many books they've written, conferences they've done, Paul would say this: let them be accursed. They deserve to go to hell. They're blinding the hearts and the minds of my people. People are being prevented from entering the kingdom of God by the preaching of another gospel, which is no gospel at all. People's eternal destinies are hanging on the balance on this one. And more importantly, the glory of Christ is at stake. That is the ultimate tragedy here. The glorious thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it makes Christ all glorious. The moment we bring human works into the equation, the moment that we introduce what we do into our salvation, we eclipse Christ. We cheapen His salvation. We devalue and denigrate the glory of Jesus Christ, who by His grace comes to us and saves us in our wretchedness and in our sin, that the glory might go to Him. And those who get in the way, and those who put a shield and a fence before the glory of Christ, Paul says, let them be accursed. You say, that's serious. It is serious. Paul is telling us this morning, friends, there is only one gospel. It's not about coming to Christ by faith and grace and then keeping the law after that to stay in this relationship. Friends, what a burden. What a horrible burden. That's not the gospel. That's not what sets people free. That's not what enables people to live freely. What enables people to live freely is this: that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not die or perish, but live, and live, and really live, and live free in Jesus Christ. Not using the law to earn our salvation, to keep ourselves in God's graces, but keeping that law out of gratitude for all that God has done for us, knowing that we are already secure in His presence and that that relationship will never, ever change. And that's the message, friends, that you have got to preach time and time again, so that you won't try and get there or stay there by your own effort. It's not your prayers that keep you in God's graces. It's not doing evangelism that keeps you in God's good graces. It's not doing all the right things, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, that gets you in or keeps you in His grace.
You are already in His grace if you have turned to Him through faith in Christ alone, have you? Or are you doing it your own way? And if you are, friends, I'm calling you this morning by the grace of Almighty God to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to rest and to be free. To be free indeed. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that we will stop our striving. Stop all vain attempts to gain and curry your favor and rest in what has already been earned for us. Father, that message we will preach to our hearts every moment of the day. Lord God, when we are tempted to death, when we fear, God, that there's no way that we can pray to You, worship You, when we think, Father, that we have to do it some other way, and then, Lord, when we do it that way, by spending so little time looking at the sin in our own hearts, focusing rather, Father, on the sin we see in others, God, forgive us. God, forgive us. God, forgive us for trying to achieve what we can't. Father, when it's so unnecessary. Father, I pray that this truth will begin to lay hold on the hearts and minds of Your people. And Lord God, that it will have a freeing effect on their lives. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this message. Thank You for this gospel message. Thank You that it is a divine message. Thank You that it's a powerful message. Thank You, Father, that it has the power to change the way we think and live. Thank You, Lord, that it can rescue us from doubt and discouragement and despair, and at the same time, elevate us and bring us back and cause us to stop turning away and turning instead to the One who called us by His grace, the One who called us into glorious freedom. Lord, we pray that we will live in that freedom and in that one true gospel. Amen.